Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Chof Tes. We're holding the third line of Chof Tes Amar Aleph, where the Gemara begins Amar Rava. And of course, we're continuing to talk about the Inyonim of Sukkah. Amar Rava Mani Mishtaya B'Metalalta. We're now talking about the fact that we learned in the Gemara yesterday that there's a din of Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru. And the Gemara said, what does that mean in practical terms? You remember go back to Chof Ches Amud Beis right after the Mishnah, where the Gemara brought a Braisa. How do you make Teshuva Kein Taduru? How you Mekayim that? Said the Gemara, if you had Kelim No'im Malin L'Sukkah, Matzois No'ois Malin L'Sukkah, if you have beautiful crockery, beautiful cutlery, bring them into the Sukkah, and that should be your mukam kavua for the 7 days. So, in the same vein, the Gemara tells us that mani mishtai means kelim that are used for drinking. Rashi says koisois, in other words, cups, glasses. Vimetalalta, those you can leave in the sukkah even after they have been used. And the Gemara says Rashi, lefish einin ma'usim, because they are not repulsive. If you took a glass of water, or even a cup of wine, or what have you. So after you finish drinking, the used cups, the used glasses are not repulsive. You can leave them in the sukkah. You don't have to immediately remove them. But mani makla, if you're talking about kelim for eating, in other words, plates, barnum talalta, as soon as you finished using them, take them out of the sukkah. Says Rashi, because they are mo'us. Used plates, some people call them dirty plates. I wouldn't call them dirty plates, but these are used plates. Used plates can be somewhat repulsive. Take them out of the sukkah. Chatzva v'shochel bar mitalalta. Chatzva and shochel, Rashi says, are both buckets that are used for drawing water. The only difference is that chatzva is made out of cheres, it's earthenware, while shochel is made out of eitz, out of wood. Both of these are the types of things that you normally would not find in your dining room, and therefore don't bring them into the sukkah. Bar mitalalta, take them out. Ushraga, however, shraga, which of course is a light, could be a candlestick, bimitalalta, those you can leave in the sukkah, obviously to provide light. Biyamrila, but there's another braisa that says bar mitalalta. No, leave the shraga out. Leave out the candlelight. So if you there's no machlokes. It depends whether you're talking about a large sukkah or a small sukkah. Now, what difference does it make if you're talking about a large sukkah or a small sukkah? So Rashi doesn't give us any guidance. However, Toisvis, the second Toisvis, says that the last 3-4 lines, if you look at the last 3-4 lines of the second Toisvis, V'chayshinon shemetisraf sukasoi. The problem here is that if you're going to leave a candlelight in the sukkah chas v'sholem, it might cause a fire. So if you're talking about a small sukkah, that is very problematic. Chas v'sholem, the fire of the candle might chaptachon on some of the wall decorations, some of the schach, what have you, could cause a fire. For the sukkah gedoyla, the assumption is it's such a large sukkah that it's unlikely that the candlestick will cause any problems. That seems to be a wonderful pshat. However, Rashi, when he refers to shrag, he says shrag is ner shel cheres. Ner shel cheres means, of course, it's made out of earthenware. So if we're talking about specifically an earthenware ner, what difference does it make if we're talking about a sukkah ktana or sukkah gedoyla? The same sakana you have in a sukkah ktana, you would have if the ner was made out of metal or made out of glass. Lav dafka cheres. And because of that, some want to learn that what Rashi is referring to is not a sakana of chas v'sholem asreifa, but Rashi is rather referring to the fact that a ner shel cheres, after it's used the first or the second time, can get very oily because the cheres absorbs the oil. There's no way of getting it out, and no longer looks nice and fresh and beautiful. To the contrary, it could also look repulsive. And therefore that would make sense, and we'll bring it in this memra of Rava, because Rava was talking about the mani mechla being repulsive after they've been used. Here too, a shraga, a candlestick that's made out of cheres can also look repulsive, and therefore keep it out of the sukkah. So now the obvious question is, what difference does it make between a sukkah gdoyla and a sukkah ketana? Sukkiktana, which is only 7x7 tvachim, if you're going to put in such a ner shel cheres, it's immediately going to be the centerpiece on the person's table. Everybody will notice that it's already used and that it's already oily and ishmutzik, and therefore it will be repulsive to have in the sukkah. But if it's a huge sukkah, it's just one out of, 50 items that you'll have on the table, that you'll have hanging from the ceiling, hanging from the schach, from the wall, and therefore it won't be that noticeable, so you can leave it in the sukkah after all. Alright, getting on to the continuation of the Mishnah says that Yarduk Shaman, if it starts raining, and it spoils Mishatisrach Hamikvah. Hamikvah, Rashi said, means a Tavshul Kofui. Tavshul Kofui means a type of food item that is somewhat congealed. Loirach v'loyav. It is neither soft in texture, in nature, nor is it thick. The Art Scroll teaches that it's a porridge. Fine. Says the Gemara, what type of porridge? Tanu, we learned the Braisa, Mishatisrach Hamikvah Shel Grisin. It's a porridge made out of beans. In other words, it's similar to a chulent. Why does the Braisa say Mikvah Shel Grisin? Because if you're eating chulent and it starts raining, says Rashi, Mimaheres Lekalkel Pigshomim Ma'ot, as opposed to any other food, where if it gets a little bit watery, some water spills in, or in this case, some rain falls in, Nishkeferlich, you can continue eating it. But if you have a delicious cholent and you have it start to rain into the cholent, it loses all of its time and its appeal. So then from that point on, you can leave the sukkah.
And grease them because it was kind of greasy to begin with.
Oh, because it was greasy. Ah, Shkoyach, thank you very much for adding that touch to the shir. Thank you. So continuing.
Any food?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Any food if water touches, if you are eating a barbecue,
yeah,
and if the water touches it, it spoils. Lambda grease. Why do we give an example restricted to this particular item? It's beyond me.
You have to go and speak
who's
to
talking?
The person that's talking is in London now. Okay, it's if you want to see him, I have with me one of my enikluch, and he wants to know who's talking. This is Osher Yid. Anyway, this is my granddaughter, and here's my grandson.
Wow.
They're also listening attentively to the shir.
Very nice.
Thank you. And they heard your question all the way from London. And the answer is...
They wanted to see him.
They wanted
day
to...
Early.
Yeah, see him. Yeah, okay, shkoyach. We're going to soon make a see him on the parak, Amir Hashem. That's probably what you're referring to. So, Mikvah Shel Grisin says, Rashi, Mimaheres Lekalkel Bikshomim Ma'at. Rashi says that this is the type of food item that gets spoiled very quickly. You're absolutely right, Robert. Any food item, if it rains in or water enters in sufficiently, it starts spoiling. Apparently, the mikvah shel grisim is the type of thing that people feel that it becomes less and less tasteful much more quickly than other food items. Other food items, apparently, people have a greater degree of patience. But not when it comes to such a chulent item. The water comes in, it loses all of its time. I can't add any more time to that.
Anything that loses its time, we learn from this, it's you are exempt to from the sukkah.
Mitztayer potter min sukkah. Mitztayer potter.
Loses its time, okay.
Good. Dr. Moravaita. Abaye Abakul Yosef Kami de Rav Yosef bin Metalalta. Abaye was sitting in front of Rav Yosef inside the sukkah. Noshev Zika, a wind began to blow. The Kamaisi Tzivusa, and as a result, some of the schach started falling into the food. Rashi says Tzivusa means kismin shel schach. Kismin means shpendelech. Shpendelech are splinters. Little pieces, like echweis of pine needles. If you have pine cones on top of your schach. Hayameshir alamachl, Rashi says, the pine needles, or these small little pieces of kismin, went and fell into people's food. And Rav Yosef could not take it anymore. Amaluhu Rav Yosef said, Pamali mani meocha, let's get out of here. The word manning means kelim. Let's take out all the kelim, let's take out of the food. We cannot possibly continue eating under these circumstances. Now, apparently, as we'll see from the Gemara, it wasn't a situation where your average individual felt that you gotta leave. Apparently, only Rav Yosef felt this. Because the Gemara says, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Rabbi, what now we learned in Mishnah, Mishnah Tisrach HaMikvah means that the food is spoiling as a result of the water. And these small kismen that are falling in, Sunish Geferlich, why are you running out? Amalei, said Rabbi Yosef, Lididi, for me, Kiman da Anina Datoi, I happen to be a very finicky individual. Kimisha Tisrach HaMikvah, Domili, I feel as if it's Tisrach HaMikvah that the food is already getting spoiled, as if water is spilling into or is pouring into my chulin. So although other individuals here in the sukkah don't feel the same way that I do, but I really have to leave. I cannot withstand. I can't continue staying here. In fact, Rashi brings from the Gemara the end of Masechtas Pesachim, where the Gemara says, it's Rashi is parallel to our Gemara. It says, the Gemara, Shloisha Chayein Einan Chayim. The three people that because of their particular midos, they have a difficult time of life. What are those three? Harachmanim, those that have terrible amounts or great amounts of mercy and compassion. Varaschanan, and those people that easily get tzehitzed, get upset and get angry. Vanine hadas, and those people who are finicky. She'enem yicholim lizbol shum dover mias. They're not able to go and tolerate anything which is even slightly repulsive. The Amr of Yosef, kulu isnoibi. I have, unfortunately, all of three of these midos. I happen to be Rachmanim, I have a great degree of compassion. I get very upset and very hot-headed very quickly. And I'm Anine Adas, and I am very finicky about what's going on. So therefore, I have all of these issues. So Gemara is telling us the same thing here. Says Rav Yosef, I cannot possibly continue staying in the sukkah. It's just becoming unbearable. It's interesting, the Gemara says that about Rav Yosef and Abaya. I'm sure you all recall on the top of Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, we had on the top 3-4 lines where Amr Avchanan Bar Rava, this is Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, 13a, Amr Avchanan Bar Rava, top line, Hani Hizmi Vihigi, Mesachin Behu. Hizmi Vihigi means the types of schach that have on them thorns and that have on them thistles that can fall off. They're similar to pine cones. So Rav Chanan Bar Rava says, you can use them. Abaye Omer behizmi mesachachin. Behigi loy mesachachinam. You can use hizmi, but not higi. Why not? My time with kima denatri tarfayu. Because the leaves fall down. Shavik love enough. A person is not going to stick around in the sukkah. He's going to go and leave the sukkah. That's Abaye speaking. It's interesting, the same Abaye in Daf Yud Gimel that said, that if you have these thorns coming in, you can leave the sukkah. Here he's asking Rav Yosef, why are you leaving? After all, it's just these little things, thorns which are falling in, these little splinters. So the Gemara, apparently on the surface, would seem to be inconsistent. So perhaps one can say that the Gemara in Yud Gimel is after the limud of our daf here in Daf Chof Tes. But once Rav Yosef said, this is unbearable, we can leave the sukkah because I'm being mitztayer. So now Abaye learned that that's the halacha that he learned now from Rav Yosef. Others want to say that the nature of the leaves falling here in Daf Chof Tes was not as egregious as the leaves falling on Daf Yud Gimel. Daf Yud Gimel, the leaves were such that anybody and everybody, your reasonable man, would immediately leave the sukkah and say, I can't stay here in the sukkah. All the leaves are falling into my chulin, into my soup, into my fish, whatever. In our Gemara, apparently, it wasn't that terrible, because there may have been other people in the sukkah as well that felt that they can continue to sit and eat. It was Rav Yosef that said, no, this is unbearable. We have to leave the sukkah. And in the spirit of our good friend Shelley, it's because of the leaves, he felt we have to leave the sukkah.
Exactly. That's the suggestion.
Thank you very much. Tanravan, on to the next braisa. Zok braisa. Ho yoichel besukkah miyorad gashom. A person is eating the sukkah and it starts raining. The yorad, and he left the sukkah. The word yorad is because in the times of Chazal, most of the sukkahs were built on the roof. And therefore, when you left the sukkah, by definition, you were yored, you left by going down, as opposed to just exiting. That's the lashon b'yored. He does not have to return to the sukkah. In other words, it's yontif or it's chol hamoed, and he started eating the sukkah, gishmak, everything is wonderful, and all of a sudden, it starts raining. It rained to the extent that it was tisrach hamikvah, that everything was getting spoiled and repulsive, and he said, children, we gotta leave. So he picks himself up, and he leaves the sukkah. 10 minutes later, it stops raining. Should he return to the sukkah? Says the Braise, once he continued eating outside the sukkah, he does not have to return. He can stay in his dining room. He does not have to return. Similarly, what happens if he was sleeping in the sukkah? The Yoruk Shaman, it started raining. The Yorani left the sukkah. He does not have to return to the sukkah until Ad Shiyoyer. Now the word Ad Shiyoyer on the surface means until it gets light, which Rashi says means it's Amud HaShachar. However, the Gemara in fact had a Shaila, how do you read and how do you explain the word Yoyer? Is that Iboyelahu Ad Shiyoyer with an Ayin or Ad Shiyoyer with an Aleph? What's the difference if you spell it with an ayin or an aleph? Says Rashi, achior with an ayin means until he wakes up. He wakes up. What happens if he wakes up 2 o'clock in the morning? He went to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock, nice and early, and he's there inside the sukkah, and it starts to rain. So 12 o'clock he leaves the sukkah because it's raining. He goes to bed. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, Baruch Hashem, guess what? It stopped raining. And he woke up. Now, does he have to... Kinrach. He woke up at 2 o'clock. Does he have to go and return now to the sukkah because of the fact that Baruch Hashem had stopped raining? Or at Shior, does he wait until Amud HaShachar, which may be as late as 4, 5, 6 o'clock, depending on the hour on that day? So, Zokti Yomari Boidu, Achior, does it mean when he wakes up and it stopped raining? Or Achior, does it mean early in the morning at the time of Aloysa Shachar, Toshima? The Brisa says, Achior, the Yale Omer Shachar, both the shear of Yor, when it gets light, and the Zman of Omer Shachar, when it gets light. Freytimora, Tarti, why would it repeat the two together until it gets light? Until it gets light. That in fact, if it's raining and you left the sukkah as you were sleeping, because you were trying to sleep and you left the sukkah and now you want to return, when do you have to return? When it's both yor, when he wakes up, and it's also the amud hashachar in the morning. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? That means that what happens if he woke up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, the sukkah is dry, it's no longer raining, ain matrichin, you're not matrichin to get into the sukkah because it's, you wait until the Amud HaShachar. And fakert also, when happens when Amud HaShachar and the person is still fast asleep, you do not have to wake him up. You let him sleep as long as he wants, even though it's already Amud HaShachar. So basically what the Gemara is telling us, it's the later of the two zmanim. When he wakes up, if he woke up in the middle of the night and it's not Amud HaShachar yet, you can go and go back to sleep. You don't have to go into the sukkah. And and also the other way around. If it's Amud HaShachar, he didn't wake up yet, you wait until he wakes up, and then if he still wants to go back to sleep, let him return to the sukkah after Amud HaShachar. Okay, so more about it. It says in the Mishnah, if it starts raining in the sukkah, Moshul Mahadover Doime, this is similar to, says the Mishnah, Le'eved Sheba Limzoig Kois L'Rabbi. The butler comes in to go and serve and pour wine for his rabbi, for his master. V'shafach Lo Kitan Alpanav, and instead what happens, he went and poured the jug of wine on his face. Now the question is, who's the one that pour or shot the wine on whose face? Are we talking about the Eved L'Rabbi? Or are we talking about the Rabbi L'Eved? Zokimar, Iboilu, Mishafach Lami, who is the one that spilled the wine in the other person's face? Starshima, let's see the Brisa, the Sanya. Shafach Lami, Rabbi Kitan Alpanav, it's the Rabbi that poured the wine on the face of the Eved. The Omelain, he tells him, Efshi Bishimushach, I don't want you to be Mishamish me any longer. So therefore, Yidin are sitting in a sukkah. We're trying to be Mishamish to the Bnei Shalom and perform a Kaddish Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Hashem Yisparach is angry at us for whatever reason. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I don't want you, I don't need you, please leave the sukkah. If you don't want to leave, I'll convince you by having it rain and pour, and then you'll be thrown out of the sukkah. Now this, of course, sounds quite dreadful, especially since we're quite kind of used to having it rain during sukkahs at least once or twice or three times, sometimes only at night, but often during the day. Does that mean each time it rains, the Kaddish Baruch Hu is sending us a signal, get out of the sukkah, I don't want you? So if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Orach HaShulchan that writes that this Mishnah and this Gemara really applies to Eretz Yisrael and the Mediterranean countries, where typically it does not rain sukkah time. It only starts raining typically after sukkah. So when it does rain sukkah time, that's a simon from the Kaddish Baruch Hu that he doesn't want us in the sukkah, and he's sending us a signal, leave. However, in America and other countries where it typically rains throughout the year, throughout the summer, throughout the sukkahs, then it's not considered to be a bad omen if it, chas v'sholom, rains during sukkahs. So, Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braise, Bizma Shechama Loike Simen Ra. Okay, so from here to the bottom of the omen and into the omen base, the Gemara is going to tell us about other occurrences in the world which also have a negative signal to Klal Yisrael. Nothing to do anymore with sukkahs, but just in general, if you have things happening, you shouldn't think that these are all happening by happenstance. Everything is a Kaddish Baruch Hu is sending us a message, sending us a signal. It's talking about it under the Brisa. Bizman shechama loike. When you have a likui chama is normally interpreted to mean a solar eclipse, where you know what an eclipse is, that the sun is partially or fully blocked by, for instance, the moon, and therefore you do not see the rays of the sun. Or at least you don't see most of the rays of the sun, because most of it is blocked out by the moon. When there's any solar eclipse, this is a bad omen for the whole world. He made a beautiful banquet for his avodim. V'niach panas lifneim. Panas, as Rashi, is a lantern. Nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, I think they use the word panas for a flashlight. So he left light there for them at the Seuda. And then, Koas Aleim, and the Melech got angry at them. The Om Le'avdoi, and he told his Eved, Toil panas v'tneim, take out all the lights, blow out all the lanterns. And now they're sitting Nebuch in the dark. And that's what a Kodesh Baruch is sending us a message when you have a solar eclipse. The boys say usually you'd have the sun rays which brighten up and lighten up the day. No, I am today sending this Hoshiv Mechoshech. Some of Arshim say it's unlikely that our Gemara is talking about a solar eclipse, because the scientists can already tell you now, from now for the next, I don't know, 1,000 years, when there will be solar eclipses. These things are already, you can figure it out if you're an astronomer and you're a scientist, you know already in advance when the next solar eclipse is going to be. So does that mean a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not angry from now until then? And at that time, Kaddish Baruch Hu will get angry? I mean, if it's a calendar event, it doesn't sound that this would be an occasion where Kaddish Baruch Hu gets angry at us. So in fact, others say that we don't mean a solar eclipse, we mean something unexpected happens up there in Shemayim, which you don't normally anticipate, where the day was supposed to be nice and bright and lit up, and all of a sudden, the Cham is like, it is dark. That's a simon from Hashem that he's angry and he's not happy with our performance of the mitzvahs. Tan Rabbi Meir Oimer calls Macha Ma'udis Loikin Simaral the Sain Ayim Shel Yisrael. Anytime that the Ma'oirais, now Rashi says Ma'oirais means not the sun, but we're talking about the moon and the Kechavim. Kechavim meaning, of course, the stars. If you have such a likui, such an eclipse, Simen Ra, the Sineim Shal Yisrael, it's a Simen Ra for Klal Yisrael. We use the term Sineim Shal Yisrael as a euphemism, but we really mean Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is unfortunately already used to getting many punishments, many makris from Hashem. Marshal the Sefer Shabbat Beis HaSefer. The Sefer over here that we're talking about is the Rebbe or the Malamed, or the principal, comes to school, or to Biyadai, and all the children see that he has a strap in his hand. Mi Dayik, who's worried about the fact that he might get the burden of that strap, who might get whipped or get hit? Mi Shiroga Lil Kais B'chol Yom V'Yom, who Dayik? The one that usually gets whipped on a frequent basis, he's the one that's going to be nervous. The good kid in class that has never been hit by his Rebbe for the last 6 months, he's not concerned. It's the one that gets hit every day, he says, uh-oh, today is going to be a bad day. I see that unfortunately my Rebbe is holding on to the whip. So it's the one that's used to it. So that's what Gemara says, we, Klal Yisrael, are used to, throughout the generations, being punished, whether it's through the Crusades or the pogroms, or all the other terrible things that have happened to Klal Yisrael over the ages. And therefore, we have to be more concerned than the Goyim that don't get that type of punishment on a frequent basis. They say that the Chofetz Chaim, when he would hear that or he would read, or somebody would tell him that there was a tornado in the state of Iowa, for instance, the Chofetz Chaim would ask, tell me what happened, Chas v'Shalom, or any people pass away, was there any property damage, etc., etc. And people said, Chofetz Chaim, you live in Radon, this is in Iowa, why are you interested, why do you care? There are probably no Yidden living in Iowa, what's the purpose of your asking? So he said, based on this Gemara, he said, any time that a terrible thing happens, it's a siman for us, for Klal Yisrael. Hashem sends us the simanim. We're the ones that are used to, unfortunately, punishments, and therefore Hashem is sending a signal to us, even though if it doesn't affect us in particular, but it's a signal to us nevertheless. Tana Rabban says the Brayis b'Zman Shachama Loike Simin Rali Oyvdei Kechavim. If you have a Likui Chama, a solar eclipse, that's a bad sign for the Goyim. Levana Loike, if you have a lunar eclipse, Simen Ra'al, the Sinan Shal Yisrael, then it's a bad simen for us, for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Yisrael, Moinim Levan, V'Yodhi Chavim, L'Chama. Because Yisrael, when we count the days of the year, we count on the basis of a lunar cycle, a lunar year. That's why we have 354 days. But Yichom L'Chama, wherever they're going, they count L'Chama to the sun, and therefore they have 365 days. And therefore, if you have a likui chama, that's a signal to the goyim. A likui levana, that's a signal to us, to the yidden. Like in an Mizrach, if you see that there is a solar eclipse taking place on the Mizrach side, on the eastern side of the horizon, simen rali yoshev Mizrach. This is particularly a signal, a simen, for those that live on the Mizrach side, on the eastern side. The marv is on the west, simen rali yoshev marv, those that live on the western side. Biyam terakia, if you have a likui chama straight overhead, then that's a simon for the whole world, because at the middle of the day, that affects everyone. Panav doimin ledam. What happens if you look at the horizon, you look at the sun, and it seems to be very reddish that day? Then chas v'shalom cherev bala oilam, that means that there's going to be bloodshed. Bloodshed being red, and the chama being red. However, the sak, if you see that the sun is just very dark that day, sak, says Rashi, means it's blackened, then chitzirah bon lo'ilam. That's a simon that unfortunately that there's going to be a famine. Because when there's a famine, says Rashi, mashchirin ponim, then people's faces turn black from not having eaten enough, not having proper nourishment. Lezu, if they see that the sun is both partially red and partially black, then chas v'sholem, both are going to occur. Cherev v'chitzirah bo'im li'olam. Both cherev, both bloodshed and famine, unfortunately, are going to afflict the world. Please close the door, just make much noise. Lokabichnisosai means when the chama returns to the horizon every night. Meaning, as we know, the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening. Bichnisosai means it is setting and now it is returning to its place of hiding, so to speak, overnight. So loch bichnisosai, if the eclipse is in the evening, Chweis Tzeisak Echovim, or Shkia is going to be Chweis 7 o'clock, 7:30, and you have that the Likui Chama takes place at 6:30, quarter to 7, shortly before it's time of leaving the horizon. That means that Puranas is going to come slowly. Why slowly? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu could have made the eclipse from 6 o'clock in the morning. Why did he make the eclipse at 7 o'clock in the evening? The reason is because Kadosh Baruch Hu is patient, and therefore the Puranas is not going to come quickly. B'tziyasa, however, if when the sun comes out in the morning, already at that time we have an eclipse, the Meheris Lovoi is a simon that Chas Hashem, the punishment is also going to come. Hashem said, I'm not waiting. As soon as the sun comes up, I'm going to eclipse it. So that means that the punishment is going to come very shortly as well. The Yesham other say Chilif Advarim Punk Faket, that when the sun sets in the evening, and that's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it become dark and eclipse, that means that the punishment is going to come quickly. While if it's going to be in the morning, is a siman of Kadosh Baruch Hu is patient and it's going to take its time. Now the question is, what's the svara behind the Chilif Advar? So if you look at Rashi, the fifth wide line down below, fifth wide line, the Rashi begins, V'yesh oimim Chilif Advar. Loke bechnisosoi, if there's a likui cham, an eclipse in the evening, arvis, at night, Puranis Mamaharis Lovai, then the Puranis are going to come quickly. Shasimen, Gishem She'ein Loi Shohus, Lishamish Beyoin, Shasamach Lishkiyosoi, who? Just like there was no time left in the day to eclipse the Shemesh because it's already nightfall or almost nightfall. Kach Ein Shohus LePuranis Lovai, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't have time to go and hold off on the Puranis, I'm going to bring it very quickly. So I don't have time to wait for the sun to come up in the morning. I don't have time to wait until it begins to shine, until it emits its rays. I'm already now, schnell, I'm going to go and cause the eclipse even before it leaves the horizon. So here too, Chas Hashanah and Puranas will also come quickly. It says Rashi, but Tziyos, but in the morning. Shachris, it comes out in the morning. Puranas Shoyalova, Kishem Sheyesh Lechama Oy Choyis V'yoin. Just like the sun is going to have plenty of time to shine during the day. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, even after the eclipse, right? The eclipse is not the whole day. The eclipse is for half an hour, 2 hours. But after that, the sun will rise again and will shine its light. So too, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm patient. Yeah, there is a partial eclipse now, but there'll still be plenty of sun until Chas Hashem, the punishment will be meted out on those that are ovrei ritzono, those that don't perform Hashem's mitzvahs. Anytime a nation is stricken, then at the same time, its God up in the heavens, the God that we mean, says Rashi, means the Malach, just like Esav we know has a Malach, and Rashi says specifically, the Malach of Esav is none other than the Samach Mem. And therefore, that's a very, very evil malach up in Shemayim. So at the same time, Hashem is punishing the nation down below, its malach up in Shemayim also gets punished at the same time. Shnemar, v'chol helim etzraim es eshvatim ani Hashem. Kadosh Baruch will also be shofet, will punish the Elihei Mitzrayim, not only Mitzrayim themselves, but their gods, their deities, as well as their malachim up in Shemayim. If we're doing what we're supposed to, we have nothing to fear. What does that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do not learn from the ways of the goyim. In other words, do not serve their avodah zaris, do not follow in their footsteps in Chas Hashanah doing aveirois. And if you will be successful, that you do not learn from the goyim, and that you are faithful to Hashem, mi'oisis shemayim al techatu, you don't have to be worried about any of these signals up in Shemayim, these solar eclipses or these types of events. Ki echatu, who has to be afraid? Hagoyim meheima, they have to be afraid because they're serving all the idols and not serving Hashem. There are four reasons why the chama, why there is a solar eclipse. Al Ab Bezin Shemes, if Chas Hashem, Ab Bezin passed away. And he was not given a proper eulogy, a proper hesped. If Chas Hashem, there was a young married woman who was Mu'urasa, not even the marriage wasn't even consummated, it was just Ederson, and then unfortunately somebody violated her, and she screamed out, and nobody listened, they Mashiach, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is saying, I am so upset that the Cham is loike for this woman. Val Mishkav Zohar, people, men that live together, Nebuch, two brothers who Nebuch passed away almost simultaneously. So now, what's the reason pinked for these four items? There's a likri chama. So says Rashi, I don't know. Rashi says, I don't know the reason for it. If you look at Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Bishul Dal Dvarim, Loi Shemati Tam Bedover. Vos Epis, these four in Yonam Vos Epis. So the Marisha says on the first one, on the Av Bezdin Shemais, Veinispet Kalocha, he says the Av Bezdin is the shining light of, Rashi says the Av Bezdin means of the Sanhedrin. So he happens to be the shining light of the Sanhedrin, of all the sages, of all the great Talmid Chachamim. If he unfortunately, if his light goes out, he passed away. Veinispet Kalocha, and nobody made a proper hesped. That means nobody appreciated the brilliant light that he shed during his lifetime when he was teaching Torah and when he was the head of the Sanhedrin, head of the Beis Din. And therefore, when he passes away, if nobody really cares, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I care. And I'm going to make a solar eclipse that people should realize that the brilliant son of this Abezin that passed away, he is missing, and therefore we're missing some of the rays of the sun. Azizuk to Masha. On to the next Gemara. Three lines from the banner of Boy, the one Mo'iris Loiken. For four reasons, the Mo'iris are Loike. Again, Rashi says the difference between Mo'iris and the Likoi Chama. Mo'iris is referring to the Levana, the moon, and the Koichovim. What are the four reasons? Al Koichvei Pflaster. What means Koichvei Pflaster? Koichvei Pflaster, our previous president, came up with the term fake news. So Rashi says, Koichvei Pflaster, Shtoris Mizuyofim, counterfeit documents, that what? Al Odom Lichtei Bishmoi Mashalitziva. It's written and signed by Mr. Smith, and Mr. Smith says, I know nothing about it, I have nothing to do with this document, so this is all fake news, fake contracts, unfortunately, that are being used, presumably, to steal money from people. And Shtei Vaitav Al Me'idei Eide Sheker, people that go and testify falsely, Val Megadle Behem Adaka Be'eretz Yisrael, those are Megadle Behem Adaka, and the Gemara says elsewhere, I believe that there's an order on a person in Megadle Behem Adaka Be'eretz Yisrael, and the reason is because they go and stray into other people's fields, and they steal other people's crops and vegetation, and therefore it makes it very difficult for people to live in Eretz Yisrael. Valkoitse Ilona is toivois, a person that goes and cuts down an Ilon Machel in particular, but any type of beautiful tree, says Rashi, it's as if he is being mavayit by Kodesh Baruch, as if he's kicking Hashem out and says, I don't need your trees, Hashem. I know they're pretty, I know they offer so much, either fruit or shade, they're really beautiful, but I don't care, I don't need them. So since the person is being boet, he's going and kicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful Ilonois, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Likri HaMa'oirois. Umishvil Dalin Zvorim Nechsi Balabatim Nimsar LaMalchus. For four reasons, the Nechosim of Balabatim are handed over to the Malchus, that the government goes and takes away people's property. Al-Mashi Shtoris Peruim, a person whose shtar was paid, and he leaves it in his possession as if it was not paid. In other words, you have a malven a lover. The lover, the borrower, is paid, and the malva, what he should do is return the shtar to the lover, or at least he should tear it up, or he should cross on it, he should write on it, cancelled, or paid. But no, he just leaves it in his drawer, and the reason is, says Rashi, because he figures, you know, maybe in a year from now, everybody will have forgotten, I will again demand payment based on the same shtar. So of course that is not only illegal and unethical, but it's wrong! And he's trying to steal money. Or al-malvi beribis, people that go and lend money on interest, which we know is prohibited. And therefore he's taking now illegal funds from somebody else. Top of the Yomid v'ashahoye sipik biyadam limchois v'lein michul. Rashi, this is talking about balabatim that are very wealthy. Things, terrible things are happening in the community. The rabbi apparently nobody listens to, but people will listen to the rich balabatim, Why? Because a rich balabas, Rashi says, people are afraid of them, and therefore people will respect them, whether they like it or not. As they say in Yiddish, Devas hat de meya hat de deya. The person that has the 100, he has the deya, we will listen to his opinion. So balabatim that could stop terrible things from happening, faloi michu, and they did not do any, they didn't exert any efforts in that regard. Again, because of that, the their money or other people's money will be taken away by the malchus. Those people that pledge funds for tzedakah, and after the pledge, they do not redeem their pledges, they don't pay. So all of these l'choira involve people that are stealing or not acting in an ethical manner, or not preventing others from acting ethically, and therefore their monies will be unfortunately taken away by the government. For four reasons, the nechasim, the possessions of balabatim, will go to timyon. Timyon means, says Rashi, that mumin the kolin me'alein. They will ultimately be destroyed. They'll fall apart. They'll have no further value. And again, we're talking about people that are stealing or on the brink of stealing. Al koivshe schar socher means you have people that are working for you, employees, and each time the employee comes to the employer, he says to him, yeah, come back tomorrow, I don't have money now, I have to go to the bank was closed, come back tomorrow. He comes back the next day, oh, I'm so sorry, yeah, come back the next day. He keeps on pushing him off. Same thing about oishki schar socher. Oishki schar socher is not just delaying and pushing off, but Rashi says, oishik legamri goizel scharoi. He steals it, and he says to the employee, you can stand on your head. Take me to court. Report me to the police. I am not paying you. That's oishkis chashachi. Valshaporkin oil me al chavrein, venoisin al chavrein. They have certain financial responsibilities on their necks, and they say, why should I pay it? Let somebody else pay it. And he puts it on somebody else. Valgasas ruach, and a person who is pompous. Valgasas ruach keneged kulam. A person who is pompous, a person who has, unfortunately, is very arrogant, he is the worst of all of these midois. And because of that, he will lose his property, his prestige. I can think of a governor or two, can't think of anybody in particular, naturally, that is very pompous and very arrogant, and even though people are calling for his resignation, I'm not going to resign, anyway, so the Gemara tells us that these are very bad, bad midois to have. Particularly the midah of being arrogant and pompous is terrible. What does it say about people that conduct themselves with modesty and humility? Those are people that conduct themselves like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was onav ma'oid mikol adam, person that is conducts himself with modesty. Yishu Oretz, he is going to yarsh in the land. This amgul, he's going to have the oneg, the joy, the simcha, al roiv shalom, about great peace. We start the third perek of Masechta Sukkah, the famous perek of Lulav HaGozel. And you'll remember that when we started off the Masechta, I told you that when I learned Lulav HaGozel more than 50 years ago, when I was, not even Bar Mitzvah yet, our Rebbe in camp was Rabbi Wolfson, and he says Lulav HaGozel is the first of the three prokem, Lulav HaGozel, Lulav the Vashera, no, and the third parak is Hecholil. So the Lamed and the Lamed and the Hey, he said, is Lulav Arava, Nish Lulav Vashera, Lulav Arava. So Lulav Agaza, Lulav Arava, and Hecholil, Hey Lamed Lamed in reverse. Hey Lamed Lamed is Rosh Hatavis Hallel, and he says, this we're now beginning the Hallel of Masechtas Sukkah. That part that we're really Mahalil Rabbi Yishalem, I guess it's referring in particular that you hold the Lulav and Esrei during Hallel and your Minaneya, you do the Neanuim. Zok the Mishnah, Lulav HaGozel VaYovesh is possible. If you have a Lulav which is stolen or that is dried out, it is possible. What's the reason why these things are possible? We'll see Mechim the Gemara. Rashi touches on them already now. Lulav HaGozel, we already learned this the last couple of days. It says in the Pasuk, Ulakachtem Lachem BeYoyim HaRishayim. Lachem means it's you're taking for yourself. Not taking somebody else's, you're taking your own property. And that's why we have a problem also with lulav hasho'ul. If you borrow somebody's lulav, you're also not yoitza, unless it's a matona amanas lahachzir, where you tell the person expressly or implicitly, don't worry, I'm going to give it back to you in another 2 minutes as soon as I'm finished making the bracha and shaking the lulav esrog. The reason why yavish is possible, there's a very curious Rashi. Rashi says the reason why it's possible is because tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, zeh keli va'anvehu. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do it with behidur, a mitzvah no'eh. And that's the reason why you have to have a lulav no'eh. The reason why I say that the Rashi is somewhat curious is because the Tap Toisis says that this din of the anveyu, this is a generic halacha that applies to all mitzvahs. If you're buying a pair of tefillin, if you're buying new tzitzis, if you're writing a sefer Torah, any mitzvah that you should do a behidur. It should be pretty, it should be nice, it should be beautiful. The reason, and it's a din lichatchila. In other words, what happens if you bought tefillin, which instead of paying for it $2,000 nowadays, you paid for it $8.95. The sofer tells you that it's kosher, but it's not, you know, triple A, it's triple B. You yotze. You don't have the hidur, that special mahadrim in a mitzvah, lichatchila of zekin vanveil. But when it comes to lulav esrog, it says befeidish in the pasuk, l'kach l'cham yoy merishim priyetz hadar, that the esrog has to be beautiful, and Chazal darshan, this doesn't only apply to the esrog, it also applies to the lulav because of the fact that the two, the smichas in the pasuk. So that the Rashi says, the Tap Toisis says, no, it's not because of that, it's because of the special mitzvah of Hidur that applies in particular to the Arba Minim. Anyway, continuing the Mishnah, Shel Ashera. Shel Ashera means, of course, from an Avodah Zorah tree, and we learn about that in this week's parsha. There's Ashereim Tisrufun Be'esh, that an Asherah tree, there's a mitzvah to go and destroy. What's the reason why a lulav of the Asherah tree? Why is that possible? Vishal Eir Nidachas, if it's from Eir Nidachas, where many people have unfortunately served Avodah Zorah, is also possible. What's the reason why? We'll see a Mirchim in the Gemara. Asherah l'chori is because of mitzvah b'baveira, it's avodah zara, you can't have hanoah. Yeah, but by mitzvah, it says mitzvah lav lehenois nitnu, so there's no problem of having hanoah. So, the Gemara of Mitzvah is going to tell us because of kesusei mechtes shiure. Kesusei mechtes shiure means that since you have to burn the asherah, and you have to burn the ir hanidachas, and anything which is in the ir hanidachas, it says by ir hanidachas, the es called shalola, tikpoits, El Toich Rechoiva, Veserafta Be'esh, you're supposed to burn everything in the Eir Hanidachas. So, anything that is supposed to be burned, it's Kisor of Dami, it's as if it's already burned, and therefore, says Rashi, well, we're going to see in Mitzvah Gemara, Kisusim Mechta Shiurei, it's as if it's missing its Shiur. We'll see at the end of the Mishnah that a Lulav has to be at least 4 Tefachim tall, and if half of it is burned, or all of it is burned, because it's Asheru Irani Dachas, then I don't have my 4 Tefachim. I don't even have 1 Tefach. Okay, we'll see mention more about this in the Gemara. Baita says, the Mishnah, Nikdam Roshai, if the Tiomes, that's the Shedra, the middle leaf, if that is cut off, it's possible. Nifritzu Alav, possible. Nifridu Alav is kosher. What's the difference between Nifritzu and Nifridu? So Rashi says, Nifritzu Alav means that the leaves of the lulav have fallen off or have been removed from the shedra, from the rest of the lulav. And what the person has done is, he's tied them back by putting on those rings, the tabois that we put, the ringlach that we put on the lulav. And the ringlach are holding the alim in place, but they are actually detached from the lulav. Mashenke, in the case of nifridu, means that they're still attached, but they're beginning to spread. If you leave a lulav on the tree, and you don't cut it off for sukkahs, as time goes on, then the alim of the lulav will begin to harden and spread, and then in Eretz Yisrael they often use that for schach a year or 2 years later when they are much thicker and have spread. So nifridu alav means that they've spread. My son Aryeh, who was learning until now in Eretz Yisrael for the last 5 years, just returned to America, and before he left, there was a Sudas Preda for him and some other Chaverim that were leaving Eretz Yisrael and returning to the States. Hopefully we'll all return soon to Eretz Yisrael, for Bias Mashiach. But at the Sudas Preda, he said a Vart, I'm not sure who he said it from, or the name of, he said the reason why it's called the Sudas Preda, because it's similar to the alim of the lulav. It's not a case of nifritzu alav, where the alim have fallen off and have left the shedra of the lulav altogether. They're still attached, like with an umbilical cord. You, to make it nice and pretty, you went and tied them around with a ringlech so that it should look a dover hodr, something very, very pretty. As you know, there's a inyan of agad, which we learned about, that the inyan of agad, according to everybody, is the chadchila, zeh, kelivan, veh, it should be pretty. So the Suda's prayed that is, we are leaving, but we're not leaving. We're still attached to the lulav, we're still attached to Eretz Yisrael, even though we are physically leaving, but our spirit and our ramach ivorim sagidim are still imbued and immersed with the spirit of Eretz Yisrael. That was what he said at the Suda's prayed. Of course, of nifridu, not nifritzu. So nifridu alav akashim. Back to the Mishnah of Yehuda Omer, Yehidenu milmala. You should go, and not only is it kosher, but Rabbi Yehuda says to make it really pretty, you should go and tie it up at the top. In other words, put on the ringlich so that it should look like your normal, regular lulav. It shouldn't look like that the alim are spreading, but rather it's still tied down nicely. Tzinei harabarzel ksheiros. What a tzinei harabarzel? Rashi says the Gemara Befarish, but what are they? So Rashi says that it's referring to lulavim, where the alim, where the leaves are much shorter, much smaller than what we are accustomed to. As you know, your regular lulav, typically each one of the leaves ends just a fraction below the leaf beneath it, the leaf that is attached to the lulav. So as you go down from leaf to leaf to leaf, you'll notice that the tops of the leaves, which, as you know, can be dangerous, it can cause you cuts and stuff, the tops of each one of the leaves is usually right beneath the upper leaf, right above it, which is below it on the lulav in terms of being closer to the spine of the lulav. Anyway, so these tzinei harabarzel are much shorter, so each leaf starts much lower down on the lulav than the leaf in front of it, or the leaf above it. The literal pshat in the Mishnah is a lulav that has three tvachim, to be able to go in shakel, that is kosher. However, that's not the pshat, because Rashi already points out, the Gemara is going to tell us that the size of each one of the hadasim and aravos should be three tvachim. And therefore, and the lulav, of course, is supposed to stick out beyond the lulav hadas, and what the Mishnah is telling us is that lulav sheyesh bo shloisha tvachim, and kedela naneya bo, it has more than three tvachim, and the Gemara will say how much is kedela naneya bo a tefach. So a lulav that has at least four tvachim, then it's kosher. So the minimum size of a lulav has to be four tvachim long. Three tvachim keneged the hadasim and aravos, and an additional tefach to be able to shake it during halal, during the nanur. Zok Dimar. We started off the Mishnah, lulav gozel yavish is possible. It doesn't say when it's possible. Kaposim v'tani lo shenay yomtev rishon v'lo shenay yomtev sheini. Doesn't distinguish between the first day of yomtev and the second day of yomtev. And Rashi points out that only the first day of Yontif is there a chi of min ha-toira. Because it says in the pasuk, lekach lechem v'yoy marishoin. Doesn't say that you have to go and take the lulav 7 days. Only the first day. Okay, we in Chutz Laretz, 2 days, sveika the yoyma. But after that, you don't have to take it any longer. However, the Chacham instituted that we should take the lulav all 7 days. Zeicher le-mikdash. Because in the base of Mikdash, they had the aravos every day. And they extended this also to the lulav and esrog, which we'll see more in the Gemara. So midrabanan min ha-toira, it's only the first day. Midrabanan, it's the other days of Sukkot. So now our Mishnah doesn't distinguish between the first day and the other days. It's vishlemi yovesh hader be'inan v'leka. I can understand you need it to be hader for 7 days, and therefore not yovesh. Yovesh means that it's dried out. Hader means that it's nice and fresh and gishmak. So that I understand for 7 days. El gozel, gozel bishlam yontav rishon dechsev lechem mishalechem. El yontav sheini amai loy. Why can't you go and take a stolen lulav? We're not encouraging stealing it, but if chas v'shalom a lulav is stolen, why is it possible the only din of lechem applies the first day. Now, lechoyra, the same question can be applied also to the din of hadar. The din of hadar only applies the first day. Lekach lechem b'yom rishon pre-eitz hadar. What's the difference? That could be that that's the reason why Rashi and the Mishnah said that the reason for hadar is zekin v'anveyah. Because if it's zekin v'anveyah, it makes no difference. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. Every day that you're taking the lulav and asrig, it should be hadar and not yavesh. But the way Tosis learned, which is lechoyra, the regular way you would learn Pshat in the Gemara, that it's because it says pre-Eitz Hadar also is juxtaposed the same way. So if you're telling me that the Lechem comes to exclude Gozel, so the Lechem, and that's only beyond to Rishayn, Lekach Lechem B'yayim Harisha pre-Eitz Hadar, the din of Hadar, to exclude the din of Yavesh, is also lechoyra b'yom harishayin, and not all. In other words, ma nishtana, what's the difference between Yavesh, that the Gemara says, oh, okay, I can understand hadar b'yom, and yeah, of course, sure, hadar, yeah, well, but gozel, maybe that's only on the first day, who says on the other days? I say freitoisis down below. And toisis seems to say that, and the Mefarshim seem to say that there's a major difference between Hadar and between the Inyan of Gozel and Sho'ul. When you're talking about Hadar, that's the essence of the Arba Minim. If you have an Esrig which is ugly, it's not like an Esrig which is stolen. Because the whole essence of an Esrig is it's supposed to create Hadar, it's supposed to be nice, supposed to be beautiful. People should look at the person's Esrig and say, wow! What a beautiful Esrig! So that's the essence of the mitzvah. Therefore, the Gemara says, I can understand why Chazal not only instituted that there's a mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, 7 days, all of Yom Tov, but they instituted it's got to be Hadar, it cannot be Yavesh, it cannot be dried out. But since the din of Gozel is not the essence of the mitzvah, it's really extraneous to the mitzvah, because of that, Chazal didn't institute it for the full 7 days. The Chayit should only apply to the first day. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Am I lying? Why are you not Yotzei with Arba Minim, with a lulav that is stolen? By the way, although the Mishnah only refers to lulav, Rashi points out at the top, and the beginning of the Perek, that we're going to have later Mishnayis addressing also Hadas and Arava and Esrig. So, don't think that this is only a din and lulav. It really applies to the Arba Minim, but we're going to enumerate it and discuss it in more detail vis-a-vis the other three Minim as we get to future Mishnayos. So, Nochmu, am I lying? What's the issue of lulav ha-gozel during the other 6 days of Yom Tov? Amr Gech Meshim Abshim Agichoy. The reason is, so take out the other Gemara. The reason is, sorry, be with you in a moment. Mishum dehavli mitzvah b'aveira. It's mitzvah b'aveira that you want to go and perform this mitzvah. After performing the aveira, after stealing, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't need those types of mitzvahs. Mitzvah b'aveira is no good. Shenema, like said the Pasuk, Beisim gozel v'esebiseach v'esachoyla. This is talking about bringing karbonis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is getting angry at Klal Yisrael, and he's saying, you know what type of karbonis you brought? You brought the gozel, the stolen, the piseach, the lame, hachoyla, a carbon that was sickly. Vaveisim esamincha ha'erza oisa. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to bring this for a present in the Beis Hamikdash, will I want it? Of course not. This is repulsive. So says the Gemara, gozel dumya de piseach. Stolen is just like piseach, means that the animal is lame, which means it has a permanent mum. Ma piseach less like takanta. Just like a carbon which has a permanent mum, there is no remedy, no antidote. This is osir forever. Cannot bring it for a carbon. Af gozel less like takanta. If you stole the arba minim, or in this case you stole the carbon, there is no takana. You have to give it back. It is possible. So therefore we have two reasons why gozel is possible. The first day we have the reason because it says, lekachtem lechem, it's got to be yours. But even the other 6 days, it's either possible because of mitzvah b'aveira, or because of that it's repulsive to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because of the fact that just like Piseach less late takanta, also gozel less late takanta. It remains possible forever. To be continued, mentioned tomorrow. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Hearing none, I'm yet 8 o'clock.